the best I can do. I don't know. I know I don't know everything. But my one heart's desire is this, is that people learn how to receive from God. Because God is not a respecter of persons. How many people believe that? That God isn't going to do for one what he isn't going to do for another. Right? Because God loves. The Bible says, well, we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. So when we were in the middle of all our problems, Christ died, went to hell, took the stripes on his back, was made poor, was broken, was left alone so we could have freedom while we live on this earth. And then when death itself beat him, but then when he arose from that, he became greater than everything that was putting on him, including sickness, poverty, brokenness, loneliness, you name it, mental anguish. It doesn't matter. He became bigger than that. And he says, freely receive, freely give, right? So whatever we got, we can give it away. So Jesus says here, if you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to start here. I'm going to pray for Patricia at the end of this, but the reason I want to pray for her at the end is because I want to talk a little bit about this, and even in our own life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, in verse 1, it says, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest. Now, I want to ask you a question here, because a lot of people, and I like this, I've never wrote books, I've never sold tapes, I've never done this, but last week I was talking about the same sort of thing about receiving from God, because it was funny that many people are waiting, and I like to say this stuff because many people are waiting for the Lord. But I want to tell you, he's waiting for you. Because God doesn't love you more now that you're a Christian than when you were not a Christian. Or he doesn't love you now that you're more perfect than when you were less perfect. God's love is the same for everybody. So what's the difference? I remember when I was broken, when I had a lot of things going on in my life, when I wasn't very healthy, I was sick, I had a lot of things going on in my life. And then all of a sudden, and I was like that for 24 years, and all of a sudden I got born again when I was 19. And then about 4 years after that, I began to hear the gospel. And I heard it then, but it started to get inside of me. And so here I'm a Christian for 5 years, and I'm saying this because I believe that we have something to do with receiving from heaven, right? See, everybody's blaming God for everything. And I hear it in church, and I hear it outside of church. And that's why many people, I believe that many people don't come to God because they think it's God that's getting people. And the Bible says, and I said this last week, but the Bible says, and I'm not here to fight with anybody. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I don't debate and argue and fight with people all the time, because everybody's got a purpose in his heart, what he believes. And that's why the Bible says to study, to show yourself approved, a good workman that needs not to be ashamed. But the Bible says the enemy or the thief is the devil, right? He comes to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it what? More abundantly. So who's the one that's a taker and the giver and the killer and the all that? The devil. Who's the one that gives life? Jesus. The Bible says when Jesus was on this earth, see, faith only can begin where the will of God is known. And that's why I go over this stuff over and over and over and over again, because it's not about all the knowledge you know. It's about knowing the truth that's in the Bible and acting on it. And when you act on it, it'll change or transform your life. So the Bible says that when Jesus was on the earth, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So we know the devil is the oppressor, and God was going about doing good. The Bible says you can't get sweet water and bitter water out of the same tap. Right? A house divided against itself cannot stand. So if God was doing a little bit of evil to teach people something, the kingdom wouldn't stand. So how many people, this is, faith begins where the will of God is known. So you got to know this in order to believe God or in order to receive from heaven. You have to. Because if you think, see, and this is why I'm saying this, because see, it's funny that people's lives, once they hear the truth and believe it, even about the gospel of Jesus, right? Even about being born again, when they hear and then they put faith in it, what do? They receive Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door knocking. If anyone will open the door. So who's the one that's doing the opening? Yeah. But faith comes from hearing. So you got to hear. So when you hear, you believe. And then you open your door. So this is what we have to do when it comes to a lot of the things in the kingdom of God. We got to open our door to it and realize, maybe what I've thought isn't right. Or maybe you think I'm nuts, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. The reason I'm okay with it, and the reason I preach the way I preach, is because I've seen so much happen in my life that God has done because we have opened the door to receive from heaven. And I know that my son and my girls and all my kids over the years have played hockey. Right? And I was just thinking about receiving a pass, because we do a lot of drills about receiving a pass. And so if you, first, you've got to understand that there's a pass coming. Right? What Jesus did. I'm just likening this a little bit. But then you've got to get yourself prepared to get your stick on the ice to receive a pass. Right? And the pass might come, but if you're not ready and you don't have your stick on the ice, you're never going to get that puck. And so we as people, as Christians, need to get ourselves in position to be a receiver from heaven, is all I'm saying. And see, you will never put yourself in a position to receive from heaven unless you believe it. Because if you just say, you know what, I don't believe that, you have the choice to do that. If you say, you know what, I believe that God actually puts cancer on people to teach people something, you'll never be a receiver of that, because you don't believe that God is going to heal you. And I'm only talking like this because we're always putting it off on over here. But Jesus said this, and I come back to this, and I'm talking about this. I've talked about it for 3 weeks. And I'm not trying to bore anybody. I am not trying to. I want people to realize that they have to activate and open the door in their life to receive from God. Because, see, Jesus said when he went on the cross and he arose up, he went to where? To the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and I. And he sent us the Holy Spirit, which is the helper, right? And he's our helper. He's our helper, right? That's what he does. He came down to help us. And Jesus said, it is finished. And so when you actually, when somebody gets born again, I'm talking like this because I actually believe this. When you get born again, Jesus does not come down and die again. It was paid for back then. And you just found out about it and you receive it. The Bible says at that time, let's go back to Isaiah. And I'm going to read this Because see, first, the Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest. Go your way, behold, I send forth lambs among wolves. Anyways, let's go back to Isaiah for a second, and then we'll come back. Isaiah 53 says this, and I want you to read this because Jesus loves people more than you can imagine. He loves you so much, and he wants so much success for you. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, if we being evil know how to give good things to our children, how much more your Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask. And I know that if I'm evil in comparison to God, I'm a pretty good dad. And if I'm evil compared to him, he so wants so much more for you. And I want to show you what he did. And I want to read this whole thing because it's not whether I believe it. You got to believe it. And then once you believe it, then you can pursue it. And when you've done all the stand, you can stand and you'll receive from heaven. Because God is not a respecter of persons. And what God will do for one, he'll do for another. And listen to me. If you think I'm nuts, it's okay. God loves you and me the same regardless. And my job is that you get to heaven. But I want you to know something, that do you think as a father, and I'm telling you this because I'm serious, do you think as a father, I like it when I see my kids just going through and struggling and battling and hurting and going, you try to tell them, don't go that way. Do you think I like it as a dad? No. No, I don't. I want my kids to be happy, number one. I want them to serve Jesus, because if they serve Jesus, I know they're going to be happy. Because I know that whatever they're going to see in life or face in life, they're going to be able to come through it. Right? So Jesus said this. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and he was esteemed not. Surely, so see, what you got to realize, and you guys know this, and this is why I know it's, maybe sometimes I talk like kindergarten here, but Jesus did this all, he carried this so you don't have to carry it. So you know, today, I've never seen so many people dealing with mental torment, depression, oppression, people giving up. People not knowing how to handle life, turning to anything to try to fulfill that. The Bible says here that Jesus was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrow. So everything that he did it so you don't have to carry it. Right? Do you agree with that? That's why he had to shed his blood. That's why he took the stripes on his back. So everything that he did, you know that you can have. And so he says here, he was acquainted with grief because we hid our faces from him. He was left alone. Surely he hath borne our griefs and he carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. One of the things that I realized, I was one of the most unhappy people, and I'm not just saying this. You can ask my sister growing up. Because Jesus is the only one that will ever fill the voids in our life. See, and so I didn't grow up serving God, but I was always had dreams, and I was the most unhappy person in life because I was never fulfilled in here. And I didn't know that it was Jesus I was looking for. I was told if you were really good at this and famous at that, you know, then you'd be happy. Or if you had money, you'd be happy. Or if you had a pretty girl, you'd be happy. Or if you had this, you'd be happy. And I attained them all, and I wasn't happy because Jesus is the only one that makes people happy. Jesus is the only one. Why? So I was very unhappy as a growing up, wasn't I? Miserable. Always miserable. Ignorant. Rude. I remember my sister smashed my Corvette one time. And I got so mad at her. You can't even believe it. Because most people know me now. When I got born again, do you know what happened? Do you know the biggest thing in my life that happened when I got born again? I had peace. I wasn't all now at this time looking for something else. Do you know one of the things why there's so many problems in marriages today? It's because people aren't fulfilled. And they think that they can get it out of that person. And I want to tell you something. I love my wife more now than ever before. But she'll never make me happy inside. She pleases me. I like it when she cooks for me, and I like it when she does stuff for me. I don't mean that. Like, I love her. But only God can make you happy. And when we did marriage counseling, or when I do marriage counseling, and this was absolutely the truth. The guy did this. It's like a triangle right here. There's a triangle, there's a triangle, and there's a triangle, right? You know, it's not a triangle there or there and there. Sorry. I wasn't a good math teacher. Anyways, there's 3 points. And you're here and you're here. And the closer you get to God, the closer you're going to get to each other. Now, you know, the funniest thing is the things that my wife and I used to really fight about, she still does them today. For real. Like, we all grow and we all develop, but there's little things that she did that made me mad. And see, so when you get married, all of a sudden, all your joy, I didn't believe people when I fell in love with my wife. I was like somewhere else, right? I was just like, I would sit with my wife. Do you remember Uber? Do you remember Uber? I would be with my wife all night, or my girlfriend. And then we would drive to Uber's house, to her home, and we would sit in the car for like 5 hours, just sitting with her. I'm like, whoa. And then when I got married, I thought, I'm going to live in bubbles. Like, this is so wonderful. And then after about a week, I realized the bubbles were bursting fast. I'm just being truthful. And then we went through a time where I was really selfish. She wasn't selfish. She was just German. No, I'm just teasing my wife. She was way better than I was. But now we got 2 different cultures, 2 different ways of eating. I like cake with icing on it. They like cake with prunes on it. I like potatoes with salt and pepper and stuff on them and butter. They like potatoes with nothing on them. Right? They eat healthier than we do. That's why I look so good now. No. Everything was different. I like the toilet paper coming over the top. She liked the toilet paper anyway. You know why? When you pull the toilet paper, if you put it backwards, hanging against the wall down and you pull it, it'll just keep running. If you pull it over the top, it doesn't do that. Anyways, so we were just completely opposite. And my bubbles were all broken. And we didn't even like one another and we're married. And I'm a Christian. And she's a Christian. And you wouldn't know we were Christians in our home. I'd ignore her. She'd ignore me. How could you have such a bad relationship? I'm saying this on purpose. And now we have heaven on earth in our relationship. Because somebody's got to allow God in your life. You don't have to allow God to touch your life. You don't have to open the door. You have your own right, your own choice, your own emotions, and your own will. And one day, and I'm just going to say this because this is how, I'm going to say this because I tease my wife a lot. My wife, and I've said this before, but she made, one day, she phoned her mother and she wanted to leave me. And I don't blame her. This was before that. Oh, on our honeymoon still. I was that good. That's nice, honey. No. And her mama said to her, what a wise woman. Because she said, you married him. Am I telling you right? And you're going to have to learn to live with him. Is that right? And she's like, oh, my life's going to suck. And she said goodbye and she hung up on her. And I can tell you as a mama, that would be the hardest thing in the world to do. But the right thing. I know. What did your mama know?
She knew who you were and she knew who I was and she knew God.
Right. So one day, we fought for over a year. And we didn't even like anybody, each other. And one day, my wife made a decision. She made a decision that we weren't living like this anymore. I didn't make the decision. She made the decision. Because she was pregnant. And she was now having a baby. I guess we liked one another sometimes. I had to just throw that in there. And she stopped fighting with me. Just like that. I would come home and I would say things to her. I would never beat my wife. I never hit my wife. I was a man. No, my dad told me, you ever hit a woman? I'll beat you. That's how I grew up. So I didn't, he opened the door. I still open doors for women. Yeah. My kids open doors for women and their girlfriends. Not their wives, but their girlfriends. Anyways, no, but I learned. And all of a sudden, one day, now she heard to love. What does love do? Love bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Love doesn't see wrong. It bears all things. It believes the best in all things. It hopeth all things. It endure. What's endure mean? I know what it means, but I'm just saying. Endure means you just do it. You just do the right thing. So, one day, and I'm telling you, and I don't know how she did this. Because I'm not, because this, you got to kill flesh your own to do what's right. And I was where I was wrong, and I know, and that's why I say today, I tease my wife all the time. But I was just a jerk. And I, because I couldn't hurt her physically, because it was just, that's just, we weren't like that. We were Apsley people and Apsley country boys. Don't touch women. But we would hurt them with our words. And I'd say mean things to her, really mean things. That it would break her heart. And she would cry for hours. And I didn't even care, because at that time, we were so lost, even though we knew Jesus. But we never allowed Jesus to affect our lives. And that's what I'm talking about today. You don't have to let God affect your marriage. You don't have to let Him affect your body. You don't have to let Him make your life better. But if you do, your life will be amazing. One day she just stopped fighting with me. I like spaghetti. She never liked spaghetti. I got spaghetti every night. Every day. And I'd say mean things to her. And she'd say to me, "I'm sorry. Would you forgive me?" And I'm like, I'm being a jerk. When you're a jerk, you know you're a jerk. And when she just wouldn't fight with me, "What can I do, honey? I'm sorry." Well, I want to tell you, it took about a week. You realize you can't fight with somebody that won't fight with you. And then I started feeling guilty. And I started to say to God, "God, would you help me be the man that you want me to be?" And I made a choice. I made a choice at that time. I'm going to love my wife. I'm not going to live by my feelings in my marriage. I'm going to love. It's a good thing God doesn't love me according to the way I am. He loved me because He is perfect love. And so I started to purpose to say wonderful things to my wife. On purpose. Because it was the right thing to do. And we went from hell in our marriage to how many years? 26, 7? How long have we been married? 27 and a half. So we've had 26 years of heaven on this earth. And you can see my kids. You can ask my kids. I got 13 of them and 14 on the way. They've watched us grow up in our home. How I love my mama and mama loves me. And it may come from a choice to allow God in your life. You can be born again, but you don't have to let Him affect your life. You don't have to allow Him to affect your body. You don't have to allow Him to affect your mouth. You don't have to allow Him to affect your actions. But every time we've allowed God to affect our lives have been amazing. It's increased us more and more and more. I've already talked about being a very sick person, me. With asthma, I had Ventolins, I had EpiPens, I was allergic. One day, I opened the door to, I was going to purpose to believe God for healing. People made fun of me. People mocked me. People said, "God doesn't heal today unless He wants to." And I already made a decision that God was a healer. Because the Bible says Jesus took the stripes on His back for my healing. And I just believed that he paid for that at the cross. And I was going to open the door to that. And I was going to walk that out whether I ever seen it happen in my life or not. Because I was taking a stand. And I wasn't going to go by what I saw. I wasn't going to be like Thomas. Thomas says, when Jesus came to Thomas, he said, Thomas, you look. Look at this. You look at the holes in my hand. I don't know if they were here or here, but you look at the holes and you see and now you believe. But blessed are those that don't see and yet believe. And see, and I know what understood what faith was. Faith is not going by what it looks like. It goes by what God says. And so I was purposing to go by what God said. Nothing changed in my life for 6 years physically. But the seventh year, my back that I had to go to a chiropractor for six years, or since I was, how old? 15, 14? Since I had that accident? 15 years old? I had to go three times a week just because my spine was bent. I had to wear a back brace. The seventh year, not only did my one thing change, but my Ventolin changed. I'm not allergic to stuff anymore. I'm healthy today. I'm strong today, and I had a lot of people mock me and make fun of me, but I'm okay. I walk in health today. I'm 50 years old. I'm not. I'm 48. But I'll be, on December 6th, I'll be 49, and I'm healthier today than I was when I was 20 years old, because one day I realized I am going to open the door on what God did to me in my life. Will you open the door, or will you just say, no, I don't believe that? That's what I'm talking about. See, many people are in their mind, one day in our lives, I'm telling you, this is the truth. I know we only got 5 minutes. But one day in my life, we didn't have anything in our life. Physically. Like, any money. I worked hard. We gave, did we not? We gave more than we had, even back then when we started out without anything. But one day I said to God, God, if you've called me to be a preacher, and you said you bless me, and I'm a giver. You know, the Bible says God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. See, and I didn't take my seed and eat it. We sowed, we've given the same amount when we didn't have anything. Or out of the same, do you understand? Like if we had $2, we'd give a buck. So it didn't matter. God doesn't look at the amount you give. It's your heart, right? It's your heart. Like we just wanted to be a blessing to people. But one day, I made a decision. And then when I opened the door to that, then he began to direct my... The Bible says the steps of the Lord are ordered by the Lord. Oh, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And what's the rest of it? You don't know it. I know it. Yeah, that's right. You're funny. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And delights in his way. Yeah. I'm telling you, you don't have to open the door to him on things in your life. You can still be mean for the rest of your life. You don't have to be kind. But even though God is love and told us to do what he does. Do you understand? But all you got to do, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, if anybody asks anything according to my will, how do you know the will of God without reading the Bible? See, most people just go by what people say or by things that happened in their life for bad. And they just think, well, if God is good, real, that wouldn't have happened. And so they just surmise. That's why it's important to read the Bible. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God has got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life for us. What did he say? He actually said, I have plans for good and not for evil, and to give you an expected end. And if you look at Jesus' life, and Jesus said in where I started in chapter 10, you guys can go and do the same things I did and greater because I've gone unto the Father. That's in John chapter 14. But he says, but see, so what Jesus wanted to us to carry on what he did, not because we're anything, but because he's given us that name which is above everything, every name, that at the name of Jesus, everything in heaven and earth has to bow to the name of Jesus. And that's why Jesus says, you can do the things I did and greater because I've gone on to the Father and I sent you the Holy Spirit. Because now each one of us has the name of Jesus and the Spirit of God to guide us. Now it's Jesus was one man. Now we're hundreds of millions of Christians across the world being able to carry out what Jesus did. If you believe it. I'm trying to get one point across. If you don't believe it, it ain't going to happen in your life. You don't have to open the door to it. You can believe that the Holy Spirit is dead and that He isn't here to help you today. And mark my words, you will never pray in the Holy Ghost in your life, but you'll get to heaven if you're born again. You don't have to believe in healing to get to heaven. I'm a lot happier healed now. I can go work with my kids than I was before. I can run and play. Before I couldn't. I had asthma. All I'm saying, I didn't need to be healed to get to heaven or to be happy. But he paid for it, so why wouldn't I take it? See, everybody's waiting for God. I'm not lying to you. I did for years. I thought because I was a giver that one day somebody was just going to come up and give me $200,000 or $300,000 and I was going to have money and everything was going to be good. That's the way I thought. And all of a sudden, one day, God said to me, I want you to do this, 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 and this. After I begin to believe. And guess what happened? I did that, 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 that. And all of a sudden, we begin to prosper. And I'm like, how come nothing happened until I believed? And I was a Christian. I led people to Jesus. I told people. Because it's not about God. He's already done everything he's ever going to do for any of us. And that's why he said we need preachers to preach so people can hear and believe. And when they believe, faith without works is dead. Jesus said, I'll show you my works my actions. Because when you believe something, you just go ahead and do it. Isn't that awesome? Maybe you think I'm nuts, but I'm telling you, nothing ever happened in my life until I believed and acted on it. See, but you got to hear it, and then you got to open the door and say, okay, God, you know, I'm in. I'm in. I'm in on this. It might take me a while to get it. It took me a long time to get certain things. But you know, the more you just say, Lord, I'm in, I'm going to be a person of love. And when that anger comes up and you want to yell at her for doing the things that she does, you just say, no, that's not me. That's my flesh. I'm in to this love business and I'm going to be love. Oh, you're a sweetheart. I love you. That's how it started. Because I would tell my wife I loved her and I didn't feel very happy inside. But now I wasn't living by my flesh. I was living by faith. And faith goes by the Word of God, not by what you feel. And all of a sudden, pretty soon, you feel right. And all of a sudden, I felt like loving her. Like, my wife, I want to be with her now. Like, I never wanted to be with her. Ever. Except for when we were in bubbles. When we were dating. But now, I say to her, I'll phone her and say, will you go with me tonight? You want to go look at a job with me? Do you want to go here? I love her. I just love her. Because see, sometimes you got to walk things out by faith. But pretty soon, God changes your heart. And it works. I don't understand it all, but I know this, that if you're waiting for God, you might be waiting a long time. And what you have to do is you have to realize and just open the door and begin to walk in it. Because see, Jesus said that the enemy is one that pushes, or he strives. He torments. He makes people crazy, and he puts people in places. And Jesus says, "I'm here. You come on to me. Come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Do you understand? He's not forcing himself on anybody. Seek me and you will find me. See, do you understand? All I'm trying to do is get to that. We're waiting for him, but he's waiting for you. Amazing. 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 I know what's amazing. People think, that's not amazing. That's like kindergarten stuff. And it is. But I want to tell you, I pray for so many people, and they don't know if God's given them the sickness or the devil. And there is no sickness in God is not even on the same side. In the Bible says, in this world you're going to have trouble. This is a world of trouble since the woman ate the fruit. And the man agreed with her, right? All I'm just saying, I'm trying to be funny sometimes, right? I'm not. I love my wife and I love women. You know that. Or I love my wife and I like women. You understand. All I'm saying, since that time, there's trouble in earth. There's bitterness and there's anger and there's this. And this ought not to be in our homes as Christians. We should be different. But it takes faith and action to be different. Because you get two people that are different, and you're going to have issues. So it takes the Bible to walk in love. Anyways, that's not what I wanted to talk about yet. We'll do this another week. Yeah, I'm going to do that right now. We wanted to pray for a couple people, and I wanted to be thankful to the Lord as well. You know how the Bible says the 10 leopards, when they were healed, they went out and one came back and just said thank you. You know the woman that came to Jesus, and she was a Canaanite woman, and they called her a dog. But she wouldn't leave him. She got down and she worshiped the Lord. And Jesus said, how can I not help her? And he said, what do you want? She said, and she said, you'll have it. Worshiping and thanking God is huge. And I just am so thankful for our church family. I'm thankful for God, for what he's done in my life, what he's done in all of my kids' lives, in our church family, for my daughter Charity. I mean, Charity's here today. Charity, stand up. I just thank God because of what everybody told me. For those that don't know, she just had a tumor and brain surgery a week ago Tuesday. Tuesday. They told her she would be in there. She wouldn't remember anything because it was in the memory part of her brain. They said that she might have to learn to walk, talk, and so many other things. that she wouldn't know us? Because once they cut her skull off and took it off, they did the operation, they had to take more of her brain out than they thought because they wanted to get the whole tumor. And they said she wouldn't know us. And they told us that ahead of time. And so Julia began to pray and believe God, and Charity did, that she would have her memory and that she would have her brain and that she wouldn't have to do this. We didn't even tell any of our other kids or anybody else. But when she woke up in recovery, she said, "Hi, Daddy, how are you?" And the doctor just told me that she wouldn't know me. And I'm just so thankful to God that she's here. I'm thankful for the doctors, for having the wisdom. But God has been so good to us. And in the light of life, all this other stuff doesn't even matter when it comes to people. And I'm just so thankful. And Patricia is a part of our church family. And Jacques, they're usually here. And she's starting treatments tomorrow. And so we're just going to pray that, because see, the Bible says it's according to your faith. So everybody's got to, and did I talk about this last Sunday? About where everybody's at. See, one person could do this, and you can't go by what somebody else does. You got to go by what you can believe in your heart to do. Don't throw your glasses away because somebody else does. Because you won't see, and you'll be able to hit stuff. Like, don't, see, that's what people used to do. It's not about throwing something away you don't believe. You got to get it in your heart first. And then you can go. That's why I knew that we wanted to go through this operation, because that's where we were at. We knew that they said they could do this. They said it would be a lot, but we knew we could believe God for her to come through this and come out of this and be recovered. So that's what we did. And I'm just telling you that Patricia and Jacques are our family, and we're going to stand in the gap for her, that when she takes this chemo, that it's going to be effective. That's because that's what they're believing God for. So I'm going to just put my faith with them, and we're going to believe that she's going to recover fully. That's why. That's not right. It's where she's at. And we're coming together with her, blaming God with her, standing with her, okay? Father, we come right now on behalf of Patricia. And you said if two of us agree on earth is touching anything they ask, we'll have it. And so, Father, Lord, I just come right now, and I'm asking you, Lord, that as she takes the treatments or whatever she's taking, Father, she's believing God that she's going to be perfect after. And Father, we're asking you, Lord, that she will be in full recovery after this. And Lord, I just thank you, and I just praise you, and I just worship you, and I glorify you, and I give you glory for her. And we just thank you and we praise you that your name is above every name. That at that name, everything in heaven and earth has to bow to the name of Jesus. So we just thank you for the name of Jesus. And I just give you praise. And I give you glory. Father, I thank you for our church family. I thank you that we're so blessed. And I ask you, Lord, that you will bless each and every one here. That you will expand their knowledge. Open our eyes, Father, every one of us. That we can know who you are. And the greatness and the bigness of who you are. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you bless the giver. Because you are a good, good God. And Lord, I give you glory for it and I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Oh, thank you.